If you do have your Bible there, please do turn back to Luke chapter 23 as we consider God's word this morning, or do look it up on the intimation sheet. Many of us, I'm sure, are probably amazed that we have reached 2019. After all, where did 2018 go? And is it not just a couple of years since 2010? And about 10 years since the year 2000, is that not the case? Time often seems to go so quickly, doesn't it? And sometimes it may feel that we don't have the opportunity to stop and to think and to reflect. Life is just ongoing. And before we know it, it's the end of one year and the beginning of the next. Over the past couple of years here in West Kilbride Parish Church, we have themed what we are going to do as a church to try to give us a focus. A couple of years ago in 2017, we had a year of mission. And the idea behind that was to try to mobilize us to think outwardly as a church and to reach out to our community. Last year, 2018, we took part in a National Church of Scotland initiative, the Year of Young People, to try to encourage young people within the church to give them a voice and to reach out to them also. And this year, with the agreement of the Kirk Session, we're going to have a year of discipleship, a year of discipleship. Now, what is discipleship? Well, you'll remember in the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel that Jesus gives the disciples a commission, the Great Commission. They are to go and to make disciples. Now, what's so interesting about that is that Jesus doesn't say to his disciples, just go and make believers. That's not what he says, i.e. those who believe in him, but then that's it. He calls them to go and to make disciples. And inherent in making disciples is the idea of growth. And we see that in the picture behind me, a seed. Beginning as a seed and then beginning to grow, getting bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. And that's a picture for us of what it should be like in the Christian life, that we grow in our faith. Our faith is not the same as it was 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but that we continue to deepen and grow in our faith. The passage that we read today from God's Word ought to be a familiar one to us. The story of two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The story, of course, happens on Easter Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. And as these two disciples are walking along the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they're talking about all that has happened the past few days to Jesus. And they speak to each other about how he was sentenced to death, how he was crucified, and then how the woman had gone to the tomb early on that Sunday morning and there was no body. But they had seen a vision of angels. And how some of the other disciples had gone too. We know it was Peter and John, don't we? But when they reached the tomb, Jesus hadn't been there. And as they're walking and discussing, these two disciples, we know one was named Cleopas, we don't know who the other one was. As they're walking and discussing, a stranger joins them for the journey and asks what they're discussing. And they tell him. And as they walk along, this stranger who has joined them explains how the Messiah had to go all through all these things, how he had to suffer. And he explained what it said about the Messiah through Moses and the prophets and all the scriptures. What an amazing walk that must have been. Now, of course, a twist in the tale is that the stranger who was walking beside these disciples was Jesus himself. It was Jesus who went through the scriptures with them. What an amazing sermon that must have been as he walked along with them. Now, what I want to focus on as we think about this passage this morning, is the importance of walking together with Jesus. Walking together with Jesus. You see, that's what these disciples were doing. They were simply walking together with Jesus. He was the one who was with them, teaching them, encouraging them, showing them what was in the scriptures. And as they returned back, and in excitement, back to Jerusalem, to tell the other disciples what had happened, they reflect that their hearts were burning within them as Jesus opened these scriptures to them. Now, sometimes when we think of discipleship, if we're honest, that seems just a bit much like hard work. A bit too much like hard work. You see, perhaps we are comfortable where we are in our faith. Perhaps we don't want to be moved. We don't want to be challenged. But in actual fact, discipleship is something that's exciting. It's something that's exhilarating. Why is that? Because it's about spending time with Jesus and spending time with one another. It's embracing this exciting journey of faith with one another. You see, so often we're guilty, aren't we, of trying to go it alone, of simply relying on ourselves. I remember playing football when I was at school. And you used to get some great games, used to have a really rubbish ball, you know, most of the panels were coming off the football, and you would go out, whatever weather it was, not like these days when you don't go out when it's wet. We were out every lunchtime, every break time, and we went out and we played football. We used to get some great games in the playground at lunchtime and break, and it used to be a lot of fun. But there was always one person, one player, usually a good player, but they would try to do everything themselves. And it was known among everyone. They would get the ball and they would try and dribble round everyone. And they would forget that they went to be part of a team. And it was really frustrating. Pass the ball. Pass it. I'm open. There's no one marking me. And they're trying to go round the entire other team. Everyone else in the team would get frustrated that that person wouldn't pass the ball. And sometimes in the Christian life, we can be the same. We can be solo players rather than team players. But Jesus calls us to discipleship, to walk with him, and to disciple one another. Now, what does this look like in a practical sense? Well, it first of all means walking with Jesus. If Jesus hadn't met the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, it would have been an interesting walk. But that's all it would have been as they discussed what had happened the past few days. It was Jesus who made the difference. And we are called to grow in our relationship with Jesus. That's why we started our resource table at the end of last year, to encourage us to read our Bibles, to use Bible reading notes to help us to get into God's Word. That's why we've got prayer points in the church magazine. And we've got the prayer chain to encourage us to pray. You see, it's Jesus who makes the difference on the Emmaus Road. It's the risen Jesus who makes a difference in our lives. And so it should be our desire to know Jesus better, to grow in our relationship with him. But if you think about it, when Jesus disappears after breaking the bread, at the end of the story. And the two disciples are so excited as their eyes are opened and they recognize it's Jesus who's been with them walking on the road. When they decide to go back to Jerusalem, they go back together, don't they? They don't just go one at a time. They go together. And it must have been a breathless walk. And what I want to suggest to you this morning, it's when we share things. It's much more exciting, isn't it? And the Christian life is much more exciting when we are together. It says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And that really is the key, isn't it? That we need to meet together and encourage one another so that we might grow. And we would encourage others to grow. That's why we meet together Sunday by Sunday and on a Wednesday, the Wednesday fellowship, and on a Tuesday morning with the women that pray and in house groups. And I'm hoping that during this year of discipleship, we'll be able to start new house groups this year, if at all possible. Because it is in meeting together that we learn, that we grow, that we disciple one another. You see, look what happens to the two disciples as they return back to Jerusalem. They reach the other disciples, the 11. And even before they have opened their mouths, the other disciples are saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And so the two disciples are thinking, "Oh, you've kind of burst our bubble, because we were just going to tell you some great news. But we accept that good news, and we're going to tell you what happened to us on the Emmaus Road." And so you see how one set of disciples are encouraged and the other two are encouraged. And their faith must have blossomed and begun to be on fire. And the same is true for us. When we share with one another what God is doing and what God has done, when we share answers to prayer, or when we share with one another what God has been teaching us through his word, what is it that we find? We find encouragement. If we're really struggling in our faith, but someone comes to us and said, "You know, I'm just reading, you know, God's word, and I read about a God there who is faithful, and a God who helps us through difficult times." Does that not encourage your own faith? It ought to. And so I encourage you during this year, let's get excited about our faith. Let's encourage one another. Let's get into God's word and pray. And let's joyfully share together and have fellowship with one another. Let's seek to grow in our faith. Now, why would we want to do this? Because you might be here this morning and think, "That's very well for you to say. But, you know, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know, you know, what's happening in my life. And that seems far too much like hard work to me." Why should we do it? Well, we have a wonderful God, don't we? We have a God who is loving. We have a God who is merciful. We have a God who is just. We have a God who is compassionate. You see, it's no coincidence, is it, that the two disciples recognize Jesus when he'd broken the bread? You see, they might have seen him do that just a few days before at the Last Supper, as he broke the bread, as we're about to do later in our service, when he gave out the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Or maybe as the disciples' eyes were drawn to Jesus' hands as he broke the bread, maybe they saw his hands and they saw the nail holes that were there, which spoke of the sacrifice that Jesus has made on the cross. You see, we have a God who is willing to send his only begotten Son into the world that we might know forgiveness of sin, that we might know newness of life. If this truly is what God has done, do we not want to get to know him better? I've been married for 13 years. That's many years behind some of you, I know. I think and I hope that I know Anna better now than I did in 2005 when we got married. I hope I know her better than in 2010. I hope that I know her better than in 2014, because being married is a constant learning experience, isn't it? Is that not the same with God? That we long to know him better, to go deeper in our relationship with him? It's not too early to start, and it isn't too late. Don't think, "Well, most of my life's past. You know, I can't get to know God better now." Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Not too early, not too late. And let's do it together and seek after our wonderful our amazing, our loving, our merciful God. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for this amazing story, the road to Emmaus. We thank you for the two disciples that were there and their discussions. And we thank you, Lord God, and in many ways it's an amazing thing that on the most momentous day in history, that Jesus made time to be with two disciples and to walk with them and to talk with them and to teach them from your word. Lord God, we thank you for the way that Jesus discipled those two disciples on that Emmaus road. Lord God, in our own lives, we recognize that we need your presence. We need the presence of Jesus every day, each hour, every moment, every minute. We recognize, Lord God, that we cannot do anything on our own, but we need you, Lord God, in our lives. We need to know of your love. We need to know of your care and your compassion. And Father, we thank you that you've not left us just on our own in our faith, but you've left us brothers and sisters in Christ, ones who can encourage us on our way. And we pray during this year of discipleship that you would help us to get into your word, to spend time in prayer, and to encourage one another. And that, Father, as we encourage one another, that our faith might grow, that it might go stronger and deeper, and that, Father, we might grow more in love with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great good news of the gospel. We thank you for all that you have done for us in the Lord Jesus. And we pray that, captivated by his love today, that we might be willing to be disciples and to go and make disciples. So, Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.